eyes are getting bad.
All right.
Good morning, everyone. It's Commissioner Brian Colquhoun at 12-4 of the Capitol today. It is Wednesday, December 18th, a little after 11 o'clock. We're meeting for the administrative portion of our meeting. I don't have any comments. Julie and Randy?
No. No opening comments.
Okay, perfect. We have no items on consent today, so no issues there. Let's go right to discussion matters. Julie Prescott, you're going to talk to us about Enbridge Pipeline's 24-inch crude Sandpiper project. Your nickel. Are you nervous, Julie?
I am.
This is broadcasting worldwide, you know that. Recorded forever.
I'm a little worried about that. Okay, so this project crosses 9 counties, and there was some discussion about the number of meetings and locations.
Okay.
And so that's what we're, I think, is up for discussion.
All right, so you're trying to get a feel for get the three of us to agree on something.
Right.
And I would say for me, I wouldn't want 9 counting because of that. But I just, for me personally, when we did the Enbridge pipeline, I wasn't on the commission, but that was what, Pat, at least 3 hearings in eastern North Dakota? Not the Enbridge, I'm sorry, XL line 1. It was at least 3 hearings, wasn't it? Was it maybe even 4? And then the standard for 250 miles of transmission line, we've done 3 for both of those, so there might be disagreement, but I think 3, we have to do at least 3, maybe 4. That's where I would fall down, just because of our past precedent in a number of counties.
I was hoping for 2 or 3, so maybe we need to settle on 3.
I could buy off on 3. That'd be fair. I just think our past practice of 3 for 250 miles, this is basically 300. I would be fine with 3.
Yeah. I was thinking there might be some logic to having them in the largest communities. If you had Grand Forks and Minot, it's probably, I mean, you've got Devil's Lake, but I was thinking if, you know, just to talk about 2 for a second, that most of the people that live along that line probably get to either Minot or Grand Forks on a fairly regular basis. So if they were interested in attending the hearing on this matter, I don't think it's completely unreasonable to think that they might be able to coordinate that with a trip to Grand Forks or Minot. So, and then I was looking at our attendance at the hearings for the transmission line. And I'm trying to think. I guess we had pretty good public attendance at all 3 of them.
And for the Minnesota line, we definitely had good attendance at all of those. I just think that given the sensitivity to the Devil's Lake region, I thought the Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Minot, or Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Berthold. But I just think those 3 cities would set up easily. We could drive up and back to Minot pretty quick. You'd fly to Grand Forks and Devil's Lake. We could flip either way. And if we did 2 back-to-back almost and then do 1 the next week, we could then have late-filed exhibits or whatever it might work. But, I would give in from 4 to 3.
then I'm drawing a blank on the community east of Devil's Lake where the above-ground structure is going to be.
Lakota.
I was thinking for a while of, you know, I think the company had wanted 1 hearing, did they not? And I thought that was out of the question, and I was trying to think if there was a way to get by with 2. And I was thinking at the time of Minot and Lakota. Distance-wise, it would be pretty balanced then for anyone within about, I think it came with 77 miles. There's a motel with some conference room, but it didn't really give much information about the size. And I really like the idea, I think, of 3 hearings better, because even if we don't get good public participation, I'd rather err on the side of making the opportunity available and not getting participation than to have developed this thing and people really feel like they were left out of having a reasonable chance to voice their opinions. So I'm kind of liking the direction of the conversation here of leaning toward 3 rather than 2.
Didn't the commission have to, I know they did, but when it was Kevin, Tony, and Susan for the XL lines, didn't they have to go back and open up the record because the pressure that was put on them because of this community of Fargo, because they felt they didn't have a chance at some of the hearings.
They had to reopen the record several times, like 8 times or something in that case, but not, I don't know if it was because Fargo didn't feel like they could come to the hearing. Fargo did, I think, ask to intervene later. I don't know they were. I don't know that they were using the reason of where the hearings were located, but part of what you're recalling is correct. I just don't know the reasoning.
I think that the more we can do to make it available, there's a lot of potentials that could be happening. This case will bring a lot of attention, given the backdrop of what's happened, the pipeline spills, the fact that it's a huge pipeline. There'll be a lot of attention that'll come to bear here, I think.
Okay, so 3 it is. What communities?
Previously, we had talked about Minot, Devil's Lake, Grand Forks, or Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
So, which you think would be appropriate?
I like the big towns. We've got plenty of places to do stuff, right? We could do the. Do you have any locations like the colleges or?
I'm working with Daryl on that.
Okay. How about dates? That'll be the next challenge.
Okay. It is kind of a challenge with the ALJ shortage. The 19th or the 20th of February would be the first available.
Okay. Let's look here.
Also the 25th and 27th.
I think that last couple weeks of February is going to be challenging.
Always.
Well, it just is. We know we have some, you know, a lot of evening commitments during that time frame.
So what dates do you have, Julie? Let me write these down now. Or Jules. 2 Julies here going on. Ms. Prescott.
I have 4 dates in February.
Okay.
The 19th, 20th, 25th, or 27th. And then I also have some March dates.
And what do you have in March?
They're looking actually pretty slim. The 5th, the 25th, and 27th, and that also is due to ALJ issues.
The first part of February wasn't a possibility? Was that a notice issue?
The first, well, it's attorney and ALJ unavailability for those days.
Well, I mean, if we, let me just walk this through a little bit here. If we did the 19th in Minot, we start first thing in the morning.
I'm sorry, I missed something. Then I didn't hear the 19th mentioned.
February
19th, 20th, 25th, 27th.
Oh, I have the 9th instead of the 19th. Okay.
I mean, we could do the 19th in Minot. I mean, I know there's a lot of commitments, but I think that those dates are open day-wise. I think we need to get these. This is a big hearing. We need to get these things rolling. We could do 19, 20, and 25. And maybe what we would do is drive to Minot, but then fly the other two just so when we're done we can get back home. Or if we need to go somewhere else, then we'd drive ourselves to those hearings. And does that work for Eddie and Julie? I mean, I think.
Let's throw them out there for starters.
Okay.
So the Dayton Grand Forks commissioners? Stuff.
Well, let's just think this through here a little bit. Grand Forks will be the toughest to get to. And if we do them back to back, we go out and back every day. If we do 19th to 20th,
right.
There's no sense to try to stay over. So maybe we could do the 19th and the 20th. Do it that way. We go to Grand Forks, start in Grand Forks the 19th, go up and back, and then the 20th in Devil's Lake, go up and back, and then the 26th in Minot, we would drive, and that way, if there's any unresolved issues, we could have those wrapped up in Minot, and that's the last farthest point west.
So it'll be the 27th in Minot?
I said the 6th, didn't I? 20, whatever works better for you two, I'm open to both days.
Well, are these going to be all-day meetings, or wouldn't even be evening for people who have 9-to-5 type jobs.
I think we have to start at 8:30 on all of these, and we would have to do a very good job with the company to know they get right to their testimony and get it out quickly and give ourselves public input time so by 4 o'clock we're headed back home. We don't do like we've done in the power lines where the company went on 6.5 hours of testimony. They're just, the company's sitting here right now. I think that get your points out there quickly, get to the public input, and that's what I guess I would think. If we started at 8:30 by the company, by 11 o'clock the company should be wrapped up with their testimony. Patrick, you got your hand up.
I just was going to make a comment that if Commissioner Crispin wanted to make sure the public could make it to the hearing and he wanted to hold it over the lunch hour, I suppose you could do that so that public could have access to the meeting. Make sure it goes over the lunch hour to 1 o'clock at least.
What do you mean, Patrick? So we'd start at 8:30, get the company has 3 hours to make their case. At 11:30, open it up for public input, give it as a planning figure.
11:30 to 1 and be public input.
Or 11:30 till done.
Right.
I think that'd actually be a good scenario. The company's got a max of 3 hours to present their case, and they would do uniqueness. So when they're in Grand Forks, you give the overview, then unique from the Grand Forks point, from the state line point to a magic point between there and Devil's Lake. The Devil's Lake hearing, you do a brief summary of the issues from that point to this cutoff between Devil's Lake and Minot. And then Minot, you do the same kind of thing from there to the West Point. So the first day might be the longest. Then after that, you really get more to the opportunity for the public to put some parameters around.
The first day would be Minot or Grand Forks?
I was just throughout Grand Forks, but it could be Minot if you...
I don't want to lose this. It's probably a small point, but I think the company should hear it. I like that idea of emphasizing the area that we're in, but between Grand Forks and Devil's Lake, both of those, I think, should include the facility at Lakota so that the people there, you know, might have driven either way.
Sure.
And that might be their main concern is what's above ground. And so those two should contain both of that, but should both contain that piece.
I just quite honestly said start in Grand Forks because I think I have a commitment up in Grand Forks that week at night, so we'll be up there anyway.
Go ahead. Just thinking of the presentation and, you know, the first day is the longest, like you were saying. So where does it make sense to have the longest first day based on probably public interest? You know, so if you had a community that you didn't think was going to have as much public interest, because I felt bad in Killdeer, that the longest day for testimony also was the day where there was the most people, the most public interest. So it ended up being a 14-hour day. So, Julie, is Grand Forks, is there more, like if we had it in Minot, if there's a bunch of people who are really concerned about this in the West, then that would make it probably not the best location for the first day. Then maybe we'd do, like you said, Grand Forks first.
Okay.
Does the company have a preference? I mean, you guys are sitting right here. Do you have a preference to start in Grand Forks or Minot? Or grab a mic.
I'm not aware of any preference on behalf of the company. They don't. I think they're just waiting to see, you know, dates and places. They, you know, until we get that, I wouldn't really know at this point.
Do you see any problem with having a max of 3 hours to get your case out there? Understanding it's your right to take 3 days if you want, but...
Right. I wouldn't envision that being a problem. So.
Okay. All right.
Wade, was there a particular community where there was more public interest in their meetings? A region?
I don't believe so.
No. All right. Well, I think we got it.
Okay.
Grand Forks, Devil's Lake, Minot, 19th, 20th, 25th.
Okay, 19th, 20th, 25th. Commissioner Crispin.
Well, I don't have anything specifically planned on the 25th, so those are fine with me if either one of you, that one is fine with me if either of you prefer it. But it seems like typically with our commission meetings, all these things come up at the last minute. Might it be better to go with the 27th and save the 25th to prepare for our commission meeting?
That's fine. Does that work for us?
Is the 25th a Tuesday?
It is, and then 26th is a commission
meeting. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Randy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 19 Grand Forks, 20 in Devil's Lake, 27 in Minot.
Are we talking about driving, or do we want to set up flights?
I think we would drive to Minot. We'll fly to Devil's Lake, and we'll fly to Grand Forks. Unless commissioners, I will tell you right now that I might.
Why would we drive to Minot, you're thinking?
I don't know. We could fly there. I just think sometimes by the time you do the logistics of driving to the airport and coming back, it just is quick. But I'm open to fly if you want, Jules. The winter.
It's only like half an hour flight.
Okay. Well, then let's fly to all three of them. Because quite honestly, we have found in the winter with roads, it's oftentimes safer to fly up there than to try to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're okay.
Yeah.
That fine with you, Randy? And I would just say that, I'll just throw this out there too, that the commission will plan on coming back and forth, but I might just stay up in Grand Forks that night to Devil's Lake. I got an uncle that lives up there, so that was a smooth run. Okay. All right, Julie Prescott, anything else?
No, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Okay, so when do we need to get this notice out? Can this be ready for our special meeting that's going to happen next Friday or next the following Monday?
I believe so.
And we can get this thing published in the papers and get it all taken care of?
I will move as fast as I can on it.
Okay, perfect. All right, great. Okay, Mr. Fawn, and Mr. Mormon, you're going to give us your response to the PHMSA letter. I've seen your draft. We've taken care of the issues.
I don't know that Aaron is online, but I can go through the letter with you if you have changes. Drafted by Aaron in response to the PHMSA audit letter, their findings for the audit. And he has addressed all the specific ones that they asked us to address within the 60 days. If you have any comments on that.
Well, I just throw out for my colleagues the things that are in this letter, we've corrected them. But this is what the letter needs to say. We corrected the part about the violations. I mean, so there's not really any issues that are out there hanging. It's just this letter has to be crafted this way because these were findings before the legislature was able to change some of the things. Is that correct, Patrick?
That's correct on the violation, the penalty levels.
I had one question, Patrick. It was on item 2E. PHMSA's letter stated that NDPSC does not have a complete and adequate procedure to identify the steps to be taken from discovery to resolution of an identified problem, probable violation. Should also address the proper operator official to receive the notification of probable violations and how and who determines that the violation has been corrected. So when I read that, I was concerned that was a shortcoming of our program. And I read the response. I just wondered if you had any additional information to add on that area about, you know, how big of a deal is this? Does it sound worse in writing?
I believe they're referring to our manual. We have a manual that was adopted by the commission that sets out our pipeline safety program.
Mm-hmm.
The manual hasn't been revised for some years, and we have been making notes in the manual. For example, we have corrected the operator or the proper official that we notify of a probable violation. We have internally corrected that so that we're always notifying, you know, a vice president of operations or somebody like that. And of course, we do have the proper procedure to handle notices of probable violation. What we need to do is review the manual to see if we've spelled it out in full.
Okay, so you're confident that we have the right processes in place to do this correctly. It's just they aren't recorded somewhere that PHMSA can see this.
Right. When they came, we showed them our process and our procedure, and it was all there,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't in our manual in writing. So we'll have to massage the manual to edit that.
Okay. And then can you walk through the response to the 2C and the response to that as well?
Okay, integrity management inspections. Now, Aaron works a lot with Leonard Steiner from Central Region, and it was Aaron's impression that we could not do integrity management inspections without having the proper courses, before having the proper courses.
And what does integrity management inspections, what do they reveal when you do those?
Well, it's a look at your system to ensure that it is being managed in the integrity of the system is there. You check to see, you know, you look at encroachments on your system. You're looking including gathering systems. If you have gathering systems, you're looking to see if you should fall under the pipeline safety regulations. You're looking at special situations that might require additional maintenance, closer look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And the operators are required to provide integrity management plans. And we go out and we audit those plans and we inspect their records to see that they're following their plans and to see that they comply with the pipeline safety regulations regarding that. But it's like Aaron is responding here is that he was under the belief that they had to have all the courses completed before doing those.
Okay.
And that's how we're responding. Now, since then, there has been an indication from Mr. Steiner that we may be able to do some of that even before the courses are complete. And we're still working on identifying that.
And then in terms of, he kind of lost me in there in his description about the conflicts of the courses and, you know, what he could and couldn't do based on dates. What's the bottom line? When will he have that training complete?
Well, I think what he was pointing out here, trying to point out, is that there are requirements that conflict with other requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is he needs to go, has to go to the central region meeting of NABSER. And if he doesn't, we lose points for that. Okay. At the same, there's a course scheduled at the same time as that meeting. And so he would not be able to go to the course, which is one of the courses that's required in order to do inspections. And so, we're trying to work that out. In the meantime, Clint Thomas has also been registered for some classes, and they're looking at their schedules to see if they can trade. Mm-hmm. They're going to contact the training center to see if they can trade courses.
Okay. And
still try to get all the courses in the shortest time frame.
So the bottom line is we got approval to do it without the courses, and the courses are going to be completed this year probably. So they've
I don't
got
know if we have approval to do it without the courses
yet. Oh, okay.
You've appears asked that for there it. May be some. There may be some concession. I'm not sure how much. But we'll work through with Leonard Steiner on that.
Okay.
Do we need to do anything to close a loop here that it seems like they oversee and approve our program and we find ourselves struggling to do the things we would like to do and actually are required to do because we can't get into classes? Do we need to close? Does our congressional delegation, which is the decision makers over PHMSA, do they realize the difficulties that a state program goes through in getting what we need so that we can do the things they require?
I truly believe they realize when we have new inspectors the difficulties we're going to have, but it doesn't seem to make any difference on the score that you get in your audit because they treat everybody the same. They realize it's difficult. I don't know if that loop could be closed or not.
Okay. And then one question on one of these items. In number one, the finding was that our penalties are not substantially the same as the federal penalties. Our response is that we have new penalty levels. So is it reasonable for me to conclude that the new penalty levels that we adopted are substantially the same as the federal levels, so that that's taken care of, or are we still off?
They are, and we'll close that loop in this letter.
Okay.
Okay, anything else, Julie, Randy? Patrick, we miss anything? Do you sign this or do I sign this? Who signs this going back?
It'll be your signature.
Okay, so can you...
The audit letter was to you.
Okay.
To you as the chairman.
So if you can make it all fancy and I'll just sign it today and off it'll go. All right. The Patrick Fallon Show continues. Revision to one call complaint form.
Yes, I provided commissioners with a copy of the old form, the one that we're currently using, and a version of a new form. We had been requested by Mark Doherty. He's here today, and another member of the One Call Board to take a look at this and to make certain revisions. They had suggestions. I put something together. And Mark and Mike Shep actually came up, and we sat down together and worked through it. And they believe that the form, this new form, is something they like and is acceptable. Actually, our legal team, Ilana, has looked at it, and Pat gave it a passing grade. And so we think... this is what we'd like to go to for the new complaint form. All on one page, you can see that. There may be a problem that was brought to my attention by Shelley, and there may be a concern about the font size. If there is, it may be difficult to keep it on one page, but we might have to work with it some more and eliminate other things if we can. We haven't followed through on that yet. It's the content that I'd like to get a response from the commissioners on.
I thought the content was fine, and the reorganization seemed to be kind of sensible. My concern is that you really cut back in the space allowed for the description. And so I find when I look at these forms, I go to the description first. And then I go back and get some of the details from the actual form. I'll probably be even more likely to do that with the new form being so crammed and kind of government-y looking. So I'd hate to see people filling out the form feeling like, oh, I'm going to keep the description really short because I only have an inch in which to fill that in. And then we're going to lose information in the process. So... I'm not sure what's driving the need for one page. Is that just?
It's just I think a belief that the other one being three pages, maybe a little over three pages, is onerous. And
well, it looks to me like you're filling out the exact same stuff. You just have less room, so that's no less onerous, in my opinion.
There are quite a few differences in the two forms on what we're looking for.
Aren't we asking them to check their alleged violations so they don't have to write out what it is? I mean, that to me is like the simplest. They just check one of the boxes, so the description is a lot less because they've already told us what it is.
I think the check boxes will cover most of the violations.
Yeah.
The description, of course, we provide a note there saying you can use another page. If you have to add another page, go ahead and attach it.
Yeah.
But there are quite a few differences in the information we did cut. For example, we cut out like company / organization, person filing the information. That's all kind of combined into one now.
Mm-hmm.
We cut out the information, whether it's being submitted by an individual or a company. We tried to cut out the same kind of information when you get into who is the alleged violator. And we put, like, some of the location information was condensed into one box. But I think you'll see quite a few differences there.
I think, though, some of that was maybe duplicative,
mm-hmm.
repeating addresses multiple times and some of that stuff, which absolutely should get rid of that. I'm fine with it. I just... hope that we don't lose information on the description because I find that to be the most helpful.
Mark, do you care if it's one page or two?
I guess initially we talked about it getting down to one page because somebody pulls up the thing on the internet even and sees three pages and it kind of turns them off. I guess the biggest thing was to get rid of some of the duplication that was in the old form. Mm-hmm. We kept asking the same thing over again. also getting rid of the title of the old form, which is a damage complaint. Right. There are more things you can make a complaint on than just damage to a utility, and that kind of made it hard for me to sell the use of this to excavator people to make complaints against utilities or locators or whatever. And then, of course, getting rid of the Part B thing there, where name of excavator, which was synonymous with the complaint.
Right.
We're getting really in the weeds on this, but I agree with Julie's point about the description. If it's online, do you just fill it in online, or do you do it by hand?
When I filled in the old form, there was more room than what's here. You know, that space would expand kind of like a PDF.
Yeah, so if we do that, that's what I was getting at.
So if you could do this like a PDF.
It'll just keep getting bigger.
I talked to Pat earlier that if he wants, we have our gal at the officers come up with things that we're using for registration forms. It's a PDF, but then it also has a submit button on it. And you can hit that submit button, and it can go right to whoever you put in. It brings up an email, attaches the form to the email, and then goes to whatever email address you want it to go to. That might be a good way to do it. And actually, that particular PDF process makes it savable for the sender. They can save it to their files or their computer, whatever. And the spaces or the text boxes are unlimited expansion. I mean, they will go on as long as you want it to.
So that worked then?
In the end, it might
be fine if we can do it. Steve's up. It's up to Steve.
It'll be that
Right.
All right.
Technically, doing that's not a problem. I'll have to verify that we have proper licensing.
Form looks good to me. If you guys can figure out the details, that'd be great. That cool with you, Randy?
Yep.
Julia, cool with you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mark, thanks. Patrick, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Not too bad.
Okay. The Patrick Foran Show continues. Damage prevention penalty levels.
I had visited individually with a couple of commissioners on what the penalty levels should be going forward under the new statute, which has the maximum penalty of $25,000. And I had the commissioners shared different things with me, so I was just thinking that the commissioners could share with each other today.
All right. Well, why are we doing this? I'll tell you, Fred, I don't like getting boxed into a matrix that tells me what I have to do. Just because the fine is bigger doesn't mean I have to fine more. Why do I have to even prepare this at all? Am I directed by somebody to do that?
Staff would like to have an idea, because even now we're waiting to figure out what we should put in as a proposed penalty on a consent order that we'll be working on shortly.
I think,
and
this is guidance for staff's guidance underlined for staff's recommended penalties when they bring the complaints. It's not commission decision penalties, because that would have to wait for the decision.
I think it's helpful to think through it and come up with some sort of a chart that we can use as a guide, because inevitably when we get in this situation, we'll say, well, what does our guide say? What have we? And then we'll have thought through it to say, here's why we started at this level, and we don't have to rethink that every time that we're coming up with fines. So again, obviously circumstances will dictate what the ultimate fine is, but having guidelines in place, I think, will save us time and be a helpful tool longer term for staff and for us.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we have some idea of what we would propose in a consent order, then that means when the consent order comes before the commission, it's more likely to be acceptable.
And it provides consistency over time with similar violations.
I will say this, not in the whole philosophy of whether we have a policy guideline or not, but as far as what should be in there, when there's no damage, if it's a contractor that's out there and maybe they've hit a couple of things before and done damage to them and they're still violating, but this time they just didn't happen to damage anything, I can see a penalty. But in the case of a property owner that's owned the property and maybe has called in a couple other things and had it marked the same way before, and so they know darn well there's nothing in a certain spot, and now they want to plant a tree, you know, just because somebody doesn't like them to turn it in because they dug without calling and there's nothing there. I would not be in favor of penalizing cases like that.
See, Patrick, I think that you and I have been working together on this for 5 years, and just because the fine is higher doesn't mean we start higher. We've got a rule of thumb that you and I have developed, and whoever the commissioners are to vote on it, it's just what Randy said, no locate, no damage. First time, $0. Then sometimes we go $500. But we kind of settled in that 0 to 1,000 the first offense, and then that 2,000 to 4,000 range the second offense, and then the 5,000 was the third offense. The point I thought of raising the fine was not so much those first and second fines. It was these third guys, and these guys that, like when the guy was killed, I'd have loved to fine him $25,000. So I think it needs to be zero to smaller amounts. And if you want something, just, I think, encapsulate what we've done in the last 5 years on the lower end, but then make the higher end more punitive. If you're looking for something, but I don't, I think it's always got to be zero to.
For the most part, I think we're looking at things at the lower end anyway. Once in a while, we have to look at something bigger. But
put zero in your matrix then. I just don't like the idea that the PSC has a document that says no damage, no location, $1,500 fine. Because the staff, Alana's giving me the legal something.
You can have it.
Right. Staff. This isn't something the commission has to do. We won't be making a motion to adopt these or anything like that. It's just guidance.
Have you got your guidance here?
I think I do.
The three of us can't agree on anything.
If everybody agrees with what you just said. Then
I don't think they do. Go forward. They don't have to.
I think a range is fine, and I think what you've established seems reasonable. And knowing that if I wouldn't vote to give a property owner a $1,500 violation if they didn't call in for constructing their deck either, I just think that's not reasonable. So, but 0-2 with a range similar to what you've got seems fine to me.
Okay.
And Mark, I'd be interested in your 2 cents on this. Yeah, throw a grip on Mike there.
We had a pretty good group that we put together.
Say who you are again, just to.
Oh.
I know who you are, but for those that listen.
Push it once more so it's green. There.
Okay. I'm Mark Doherty. I'm the Membership Services Director for the Associated General Contractors of North Dakota. And to answer your question, I worked with a group of utilities before the last legislative session to create these changes that were accepted by the legislature. And one of the top things that we did talk about was having some kind of guide for the PSC to follow on these fine things so that, you know, some of the fear was, even from the utility side, was $25,000 for us not missing a locate or not getting there or whatever is kind of excessive. And there was some fear that maybe not with this commission, but with
your
followers might go that way. And there was concern on the excavator side also. So we kind of talked about and didn't know how to actually put it into law, but hoped that the PSC would come up with some kind of schedule or a guideline. It doesn't have to be a hard and fast thing. I think you have to rule on each case on its own merits. Obviously, if you've got something big, a death, those kind of things, especially a death with somebody that has been a consistent violator, I don't think even the excavator industry would. We can't afford to lose people, so we're not going to have a problem with a heavy fine, but you're going to have a whole lot more investigation work to do on that one than you will on the homeowner that digs in a tree and does it.
But wouldn't it be fair to suffice if a commission, a future commission, of course, got carried away with these fines that did go back and change the law?
We would. But we thought that even for yourselves that don't work with us every day, some kind of...
What do you mean every day we're out there doing cold for?
Well, sometimes...
I know, I'm just...
Not working with it all the time. But just to have some kind of guidelines so we could feel a little more comfortable that you're not doing this just willy-nilly. And
are you comfortable with the discussion we've had today?
I think we are. We've talked to Pat a little bit about this at the meetings, and as long as we keep going along the line that we have been, I think everybody's comfortable with that.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Anything else, Julie, to add to this?
Well, did you guys think that what he established here was reasonable and appropriate to, like, the violation?
I think as long as he puts a 02 in front of everything, I'm happy with it. But I don't like the 25,000 third offense and beyond. I'm just, I'm not comfortable with these numbers unless there's a front end of a zero.
I agree with that on the with damage ones, but not necessarily with the no damage ones.
What do you mean?
I think you're flip-flopped. So you're saying no damage, no locate, you agree with $1,500?
No, I'm saying I don't agree with any set penalty automatically.
Well, we're not talking
when there's
about
no
that.
Damage.
We didn't say we're setting a penalty automatically at all. We've said it's a guideline that we can use and a range. So I guess would that range, $0 to $1,500, be something you're comfortable about with?
I guess I've said
okay, fair enough.
Clearly that I would be reluctant to penalize at all in those cases when it's the property owner. So, yeah, I guess as long as zero is in there and it's clear that it's not just there for looks, but, yeah, then I guess it's
so fine. So adding the range kind of covers all of our concerns.
And it's just your staff guidance anyway, right? Okay. All right. Thank you, Patrick. All right. You know, we might as well skip Josh and go right to you again because then while you're talking, let's skip five and go right to six. Unless, no, well, are they related for some reason? I'll stick on the schedule. Josh, you're up. MDU Natural Gas Rate Case Contractor. Mr. Gallion.
Yes, sir. I guess I'm just want to give an update on the procurement process for the contractor for the natural gas rate case. We have sent out an RFP. The RFP contained language that there's a potential settlement, which has limited our solicitors. We've got one response, and we're under the time frame where we should be issuing a contract. But with the settlement, it's just kind of hanging out in limbo. And so I guess I just want to let everyone aware that this is hanging out there.
When is the date for the last chance to ask for a formal hearing on this? We'll kind of jump into the next one. Patrick, do you know when is the date of when someone can request a formal hearing on the settlement?
We have a notice of intervention deadline that has passed.
Okay.
And we have a notice of opportunity for hearing on the settlement that has, it's really close, I think, or maybe even passed.
Has it passed? I mean, we're. Okay, so I'll turn to Commissioner Fedorchak. It's your portfolio. I mean, I'm ready to either entertain a motion on the settlement or a work session on the settlement, which
is on scheduling.
Okay. So I think maybe, Josh, if you hang tight, this may flush itself out pretty quick. That sound fair?
That's all I'm looking for is okay. I've got the vendors calling me asking about status. And.
All right. Perfect. So, Pat, what do you want to talk about next procedure? Did we already just discuss that?
Almost. Okay. Just a final conclusion, I guess. How would you like to go forward with the case?
Well, Julie just pointed out.
That's where this is.
Okay, so where's the work session add on here?
I thought it would be on scheduling, but it's number six. We're talking about the next procedure. So,
and that's NSP.
No, discussion. We're talking about discussion matters.
I'm sorry. Okay, but it's not on a.
It would be if you wanted to schedule something, we put it on scheduling.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the options on what we've got and what we can do moving forward. So, Patrick, did you want to talk, or do you want me to walk through it?
I defer to you.
Okay. So I've talked with Alana and Pat both on options moving forward. We can have a work session on the settlement agreement, and that's kind of what I would envision. And then having a hearing on the rate design portion of that, which I believe, Alana, if I'm understanding the process correctly, We could notice it in two ways. If we noticed it for just a hearing, a formal hearing on the rate design portion, and also we could notice it to include the rest of the case or the settlement, correct? And then we'd be covered to talk about that if we don't come to agreement on the settlement in advance of that.
That's correct, but one other consideration is it's even if you do come to, like in your work session, you think you're all on the same page. If people come to the hearing and start talking about it, it wouldn't be in that record. And so it's probably safer to go ahead and put it in the hearing?
Put it, notice both of them. So the thinking issue is notice both of them, have a work session on settlement, and then perhaps a motion on the settlement if we come to agreement on it. Then the settlement piece is done, and then we just deal with the rate design portion in the hearing.
Yeah. I would say if you came to an agreement in a work session on the settlement and actually issued something, you know, like an order, here's the revenue requirement, da-da-da-da, then maybe you could go just to the rate design. But I just am thinking of how things usually go. The conversation is probably going to incorporate.
Yeah. So notice both of them.
I think
it's the safest.
Well, let's have the work session, though, I think, because I don't know where you two are at, but well, can I say where I'm at in this right now?
Yeah, you can say.
I'm ready to approve the settlement agreement and to have a special hearing on the rate design. So that's where, I mean, if you guys are there, then I think that clears up the discussion. If you're not, then it doesn't. But I've seen nothing. They did the informal. We had the rate increase. We had the public inputs.
We've had no comments.
I've gone through it a gazillion times. I'm very concerned about the rate design. But as far as the settlement, I think it's reasonable, and I think that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Well, I'd envision doing a work session soon, early January, on the settlement, just talk through it, get a motion. Maybe we could have a proposed motion to look at, and then or a proposed order. Mm-hmm. And then but we should notice now, and that's why I wanted to talk about this, is we should notice now what we're going to have for the formal hearing. So the question is whether we include the settlement or not on the notice.
But why would we include this hearing in the settlement if we agree on it and we can put it away before the end of the year?
For the reasons Alana outlined.
If it's in the notice, you're going to wait for that hearing. If it's not,
But what do you gain by putting the settlement in the hearing for rate design?
I don't know that you gain anything. I was worried about the conversation. If it's not wrapped up, the conversation might be broader, and then you end up with a record that there might be two sentences there you want to incorporate, and you can't because you didn't notice that the settlement was part of that. It just avoids that problem. But if you know what you want to do on the settlement, as I said, you would do it.
So either we should notice it for both or have the settlement completely done by then.
Yes.
Done before we notice it, though, because I'd like to have both of these moving forward. Like, I'd like to get the notice out soon on the formal hearing.
I think that's where maybe we're wrapped around the axle here, but I think they have I think we should have a work session later today and see where you two are at in a settlement agreement, unless you're willing to share it now. Because if you're both in the settlement agreement, we move through and it's done. If one of us is not there, then the best thing to do is this.
And an order on the settlement can be done
very quickly,
way more quickly than a order on a whole lot of facts.
Right.
Right. So, but we couldn't have an order on the settlement by this afternoon.
No, but we could have a work session and we could have it very quickly.
2 days.
But I think it would be helpful to have the order. I think it's helpful when we have orders and work through them in a work session and staff talks about it and then we can talk about it all and be done. And then we can.
The order would just say the settlement agreement is approved.
Is that it? Is it just a simple little?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
They don't say rate, you know, the rates can't be implemented until the rate design thing is done, and there's going to be a notice on that.
The settlement agreement orders are as clean as they come.
Okay. So, well, I'm fine with the work session this afternoon. If that's what you want to do. Do you want to do that, Randy, or do you want to just?
I am deferring to the portfolio holder here. If you want to have a work session on it, I'm sure not. I'm fine with doing that. But I have not heard anything to this point that would make me not support the settlement. And I think that's what I heard from the chairman. So if you're comfortable moving that way, I think we just need to get the paperwork drawn up.
Okay, that's fine then. We'll just go ahead and set a date for the hearing. And
the hearing on just the rate design.
On the rate design.
Okay.
And then we'll go forward with an order on the settlement.
It would be extremely beneficial if that date is out far enough so the first or second line of the notice could say, on such and such a date, the commission adopted an order approving the settlement, and then goes on from there. So it would be nice if that notice could be done on the same date, as the order meeting, but then make sure that hearing date is far enough out so that can happen. That's the cleanest thing. So that notice says they applied, they got their interim rates, was a settlement, settlement was adopted, rate design. That's what you want that notice to say.
So we could do that on the 30th then?
We could do it on the same day we do the order.
Okay.
Okay. So rate design.
So then we'll add that to scheduling on the 30th.
Okay. And that answers your question, Mr. Galleon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's do this. While we're on that discussion right now, okay, let's go right into that discussion. Julie, you said the 30th. I think it is beneficial to pick a date for the special meeting.
Or whatever, yeah.
No, but I think it might be beneficial just for everybody with the holidays so we know that. And I'm fine with the 30th, but I wanted to ask Randy if we just say now we're going to have a special meeting on the 30th and everybody can plan accordingly instead of trying to guess what we're going to do the day after Christmas for a special meeting. And
yeah.
Is that okay with you?
I'm okay with the 30th.
Randy?
I'm okay with the 30th.
Okay, do we want to do it in the morning or the afternoon? It's a special meeting. We probably just have that, so we could do it in the afternoon.
You know, I'm hoping there's going to be some elevator issues, too.
Absolutely. Preference? Do you just always want to stick with 10? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Randy?
10 o'clock work, Randy?
I wonder if somebody could just run and see if Sue is going to be here that day. She's not in the room right now.
I wonder if I still have her email announcing her schedule.
I'm pretty sure she's here that day, so.
She's here on the 30th.
Okay, so.
I don't know if anyone has travel plans. I guess I can meet anytime that day. I am not. I don't have a problem being in early, and I don't have a problem staying late, so however it works out for anyone else. So.
Okay,
10. I think the 10 is great.
Okay, so 30th at 10 o'clock will be our special meeting to cover all this stuff. So, Lana, does that give you what you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, while we're on the hearing for rate design, let's just go right into that so I don't forget it. So if we do we get all this stuff buttoned up on the 30th, that would be the announcement. When could the earliest that hearing take place?
Just go 45 days from the 30th.
Okay, so basically February 15th, 20th, that's the same week that we just...
Can we do it, get it done before the Enbridge thing or not?
I'm fine with that, Jules.
Like the... Is it... So it's a 45-day notice or is it 30 days and we're padding it?
It's 20 days notice, but publication, I can't remember if Fargo's in the mix there. I don't think so.
Fargo shouldn't be in the mix in an MDU one.
So it should be... No.
Well, there's Nehru in there.
So. No, none of us are going to Nehru. No, well, you're planning on going, unless we need you here, Alana.
Yeah, no. Well, I also was trying to go to a christening. I thought it was Valentine's Day, but I don't know for sure. So.
Something beyond 30, about 30 what days about, and beyond.
So if we said, like, the 5th and 6th of February, that, you know, that first week of February, first or second week of February, I guess, would be my preference to... shoot for.
That should be doable.
I'm open both the 5th and the 6th. Randy?
Marriott, yep. And Williston, right?
We could do that in one day, you would think. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Tammy, can we do this in one day?
You mean for publication? I don't know when you get it in Devil's Lake. Yeah, I don't know.
Just the Fargo's the only
one. I have hold for AG seminar in the 6th. I don't. That's not a must-have, but...
We know.
Yeah.
The 5th? You want to do the 5th?
Yeah, there's...
Isn't the 5th World Nutella Day?
World what?
Nutella.
Is that chocolate stuff?
We can get the paper, I don't.
All right, let's see. Mr. Deller, does that work for you, the February 5th? All right, February 5th. Patrick, Delano, you guys think you can pull that notice together?
We have a time?
Right away in the morning.
No, 8:30.
8:30. Company, do you guys make that work? Okay. Okay. Go once,
this
going twice.
A formal hearing just on the rate design.
Yep, formal hearing on the rate design. Yeah, and as soon as you guys get those back out, that'd be helpful. You got to get out of here, Daryl. If you need to go, that's fine. We'll pick up. Okay, let's just jump into scheduling then. Now we have 8 items to schedule. Mr. Deutsch, yours is the easiest.
Yeah, the dates are on the list there that the Lake Nite Council has requested for quarterly meetings, March 11th, June 10th, September 9th, and December 9th.
Well, I would just say, Jim, that you pick those dates, and if we all three can make it, we do, and if we all three don't, we don't, if that's okay with you, too.
I have no immediate problem with those dates, so as good as any for me.
I don't either, but I never know what's going to come up.
Just a heads up, they're bouncing around between the Ramkota and the Ramada for the meetings. So I'll alert you to that before the meetings, but
okay.
But they're,
so you'll get those on our schedule?
Alternate.
All right, thank you, Jim. Ms. Prescott, do you want to do a formal hearing to expand that gas plant for Whiting?
Mr. Chairman, we've been looking for one hearing in Stanley. I've been working with Daryl on that.
I'm going to fly up there. Fly to Stanley, yep. I don't want to drive there.
So the earliest possible is what?
Well, we'll now be the first week of March, the 3rd through the 6th.
I'm to open that whole week?
Yep. Me too.
Any preferences?
Not for me.
Any preferences, Julie?
Not really. Maybe not Monday.
Okay. What time we want to start? It's the reverse plan from this end. It's an hour flight up there.
Okay.
9:30? 10? 10:30? It shouldn't be a real complicated hearing.
10 o'clock? 10 o'clock? Then we can leave here at 8:30? Okay, 10 o'clock.
It isn't a complex project, so.
That's what they all say.
Okay, March 4th.
So March 4th is the one we're
10 over. O'clock, March 4th for the Robinson.
In Stanley.
In Stanley. Okay, item number 3. Mr. Leon, we already took care of your question.
Yep, already done.
You got an order for us, Jerry? What? OTB transmission recovery rates? All right. Okay, now you'd like a work session on this 3-4? No?
5 and 6, we could forget it because the settlement will take care of them, I think.
Well, but we haven't.
Not 4.
Whoa, hang on here. This is for Basin.
We were dealing with the MDU settlement.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That'd have been smooth, though, wouldn't it, Jerry?
5 and 6 is.
Okay, this is for Basin Electric's 345 KV line. Been quite a while since we've had the hearing. All the information is now showing up. I just thought we'd put something down for the three of us to talk.
How about if we look towards like the middle of January or sometime?
Yeah, I'd like some. I think some of those environmental studies are just about ready to be completed. So I think it would be helpful to have seen those maybe.
Sure.
And know what their recommendations are.
The NEPA is not till March, but there's stuff coming out before then maybe.
I think we're expecting a draft EIS here like this next week.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you say, Jerry? You said January, Mark, Julie?
Yeah, January, and it would be an initial work session to start talking about it. Company's draft order is already filed. We should have something to work with that.
About January 30th, the day after a commission meeting. I don't know. I got nothing going that day out of the ordinary.
Nope.
Do we have something the 16th or 17th? Or is that too
yes,
early?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to One Oak. The 30th, I'm open all day.
Okay, me too.
Okay.
Do it in the morning? 9 o'clock? That work, Julie?
Sure.
Randy, that work?
Yep.
That, Jerry, that
all
work?
Three of these works? Are they all one work session?
No. One.
Just one.
Is that 9?
Yes, ma'am. 9 o'clock. Okay, so then now we go to work session on all the Courtenay and the other ones. Those probably, I don't know that there's much discussion to have there, is there?
No, 5 and 6 should be off.
Okay, 5 and 6, that made it easy. Those drop off. Now, Jerry, you'd like to do a hearing in Ellendale. This is for that.
I'm down to 2 days.
Okay.
April 1 or 11.
Oh, this is light years away, Jerry. And we still only got 2 dates?
Yeah.
April 1 or 11? Boy. And this is for that 10 miles in North Dakota? Okay. I'm indifferent. Julie, Randy? We'd fly to Ellendale, do our thing, and then come back, right?
Work session. Right here. That's it. Don't make another comment.
Randy, any preferences?
I don't have a preference.
Julie, any preferences?
No.
I don't know. I've got a commission meeting the 9th.
What were those days?
Tuesday is the 1st. April 1st is a Tuesday. It's a Friday.
It's Friday. 11th is a Friday.
Probably, if that's okay with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, April 1st at what time? 10 o'clock again?
Sure.
And this is in Ellendale?
That's the 4th.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the 4th.
So how far away is Ellendale? Does 10 o'clock?
South of Jamestown.
We drive?
It's a quick flight.
Oh, you can fly there? Okay.
I would say so. It's just that borderline. I just soon fly down there.
Yeah.
Because it's not, especially that time of year. So if we do a 10, we can be
there. There's an airport there, and we don't have to drive 30 miles to the nearest.
No, there's
airport.
One, unless they closed the one in Ellendale. There was one.
Okay.
There's one in Edgley, I know.
Get those crop dusters that were just in here to get us there.
Could use one of their strips.
Let's double check that there's a flight that works. Yeah. If that's the case, 10. If we have to drive, let's put it back to 11. How's that sound?
Works.
Okay.
And so which date did we choose?
April 1st. April Fool's Day. Okay. Now we're into the last but not least, Mitchell Feeds, Sue Richter.
Just need to schedule a work session.
Okay. Well, Commissioner, what do you want to do? How soon do you want this?
I think that...
April 11th?
No.
Okay.
I think after we do a work session, there's a close call to make in this case.
Okay.
And I think we need to have a work session and figure out some idea of where the commission is leaning and only draw up one set of findings rather than drawing up two and coming to a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the point of the work session. Potentially, if we can have it here in the next week, perhaps we can have that drawn up and at our meeting on the 30th and move on that case. So I guess...
How soon are you ready for the work session, Sue?
Pretty much any time.
I think tomorrow is a possibility, or Friday, or sometime next week.
I'm out of town.
Yeah.
We could have it today.
It would work.
This afternoon after our informal...
That'd be fine, because I'm the same. I'm doing the Minot thing tomorrow.
Okay.
Do we just have one informal this afternoon?
I think so.
At
yep, just the Quest thing.
2:30 or 3?
Sure, or just upon completion of the...
Well, a little later. I have a little something that's got to get finished typing, so just
okay.
To be sure it's...
3:30?
Three would be better for us.
Okay.
Okay. Does that work for you, Randy, Julie?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you have it.
With the provision, if our afternoon session goes too long, we might have to delay it a little bit because we'll need a little gap in there to
okay.
Get everything in order.
Perfect. Okay. Did I forget anything? Oh, geez, I did. I wanted to, just for Randy and Julie, we had discussion about you guys doing a great job getting that thing set up on the 22nd. I talked to Mike Jones about the Late Night Council's presentation. And he's got a very good friend that was like Assistant Secretary of Energy, and he was willing to come up and present basically the viewpoint of the technology is just not quite there. Here's what's really going on. And Mike thought that the Late Night Council would prefer that he do it instead of the council. And he's available, but I wanted to make sure that was okay with you guys before, because we were talking about the Late Night Council doing it, and Mike recommended this guy to do it, former Undersecretary for Department of Energy.
He's like a... scientist type?
Absolutely.
Yep. I had the same conversation. I'm excited about that. I see we got some feedback, either was it late yesterday or this morning, from EPA.
Yeah,
yesterday, EPA. And
person, I can't remember the name. But when I talked to Dr. Jones, I said, well, we'll just hold off a couple of days to make sure we're actually going to have EPA people here.
Yeah.
That we don't have to end up moving this before this guy gets everything scheduled. So,
you're talking to them, okay.
Yep. So I think that'll be our next step is to follow up on that. And I like the I really think whoever the League Night people want to bring in.
Me too.
Present their side of it. And if that's their choice, then I'm sure good with it.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. I did include in the agenda, I kind of described it that way, like update on, update on coal technology to meet carbon standards or something like that as this piece on the agenda. So
I remember seeing that. I thought it was pretty well worded.
Okay. All right.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
The only other thing is getting the list of, we just need to get the actual invites out to the company folks on that. Did you guys have any additional thoughts on?
You're doing great.
on who, in terms of who needs to, who we want to invite. Do we want legislators on that list? Sarah put together kind of initial listing spreadsheet and included most of the company people. But then I thought we should think about just real briefly who else we want to include.
Well, you know, in seconds we can contact legislative council and invite the legislature. Just as about as simple as that.
Yeah, just get a notice out.
And,
so,
and they are the policymakers. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to just keep a little list here so we make sure we just, sometimes it's just helpful. Like, what about chamber, right?
Yeah, they've been very adamant.
State chamber. Any other?
Did you see the investor owns? We said Basin. We said all the ones we've already hit on, right? Basin and GRE, even CODA.
Yep.
Chamber.
Legislature. Right. Yeah, we need a letter to them. How did we decide we were doing that? We were going to invite them to come, right?
Invite them to come, not to participate.
Right. Okay, so we just need a letter of invite.
And I would think the governor as well.
Yep. Wayne?
About? Health department will be a participant.
Yep.
Have we invited them formally? Do they need a letter? Like, just tweak the letter that we sent to NERC and put GLOT in there?
I suppose, yeah.
Okay. They're the only other participant. League Night, I suppose we should just send them one too. Or don't we need to?
You can if you want out of courtesy, but they're coming.
Yeah, it probably is good. Send something to Jason.
Did Scott not have a list always of who we would always send? I think.
I don't know.
I haven't seen anything.
Any other trade? Oh, like Carly McLeod and that. Probably her. Just not to speak, well, but to come.
Yeah. Or is the question to send it to the Industrial Commission and assume that they take care of the Governor, Attorney General, and Ag Commissioner?
I think Scott had a list.
He had a mailing list that he always would send.
Can you look for it? Or call him and find it?
We can have Steve look and see if he's got it.
I'll always. Call him.
Maybe just give him a call.
I'm positive he had a list.
Okay. That would, because you always feel like you're going to forget somebody, and we will if we're not.
I do have the room reserved for the 22nd and the afternoon of the 21st for any setup type of stuff. So that the room's reserved. Steve has is working on getting somebody to do the streaming because we have to bring somebody in because we don't have that capabilities from up here. So we have to.
Is that an expense?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because otherwise, I mean, we can. It's great to stream it, but if we had to pay does anyone use it?
Why are we streaming it? I mean, if you want,
we don't need to. I mean, it. Like we had the health department do it last time.
One more thing to go wrong.
Yeah. We had the health department do it, and they came in and set up, and they recorded it,
I'm indifferent. Unless like Jewish it costs money.
It's okay. Yeah. There was no cost last time we did it.
If it can just happen and not cause trouble, that's great. What about, have you guys in the past done any sort of refreshments, coffee, water?
We did do coffee and water.
And we just covered that.
We covered that. That's all we can do by law, so it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
And we do have the white tablecloths on, and then we have a section for the news media, because we do contact the news media as well.
Right, yeah, for
and
sure.
And that will go out as well.
Okay. We should announce this. We should do a news release announcing this before the media just picks it up on our calendar.
Should do a couple of them.
Yeah, but just like once absolutely. We have one, we can send it out a bunch of times, but we could just put it together with the agenda and stuff.
Great idea. Because nobody will pay attention not on the first of the year, but we put something out January 3rd.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And then we can have the agenda secured by then for sure, like who's coming and names and stuff. Okay, let's kind of shoot for that.
So for the three of us, we'll have this afternoon, then we won't rally back together till the 30th, really, right?
I'll be in and out on the 26th and 27th.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere over the break, but I just maybe take the time off. Okay. Going once, going twice? Commissioner Crisman? Commissioner Ferocia?
Nope.
All right, we'll close the administration portion of our meeting.